Okay. All right. So I'd like to welcome everybody this morning and call this December 2nd, 2022 Arizona State Board of Optometry meeting to order at 8:16. Margaret, would you like to call order? Or excuse me, call roll?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Moffitt. Dr. Mastoris?
Present.
Dr. Cohen? Dr. Cohen? Noted absent. Dr. Carpenter?
Present.
Dr. Brown?
Present.
Ms. Galan? Ms. Galan? Noted absent. Mr. Hamed? Mr. Hamed? Noted absent. Dr. Moffitt?
Present.
Ms. Baskin?
Present.
And Margaret Whalen is present. 1, 2, 3, 4. Madam Chair, we do have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. Board meeting statement of purpose. A license to practice optometry in the state is a privilege granted by the Arizona Legislature through the Optometric Practice Act. In 1907, on behalf of the people of the state, the legislature created the Arizona State Board of Optometry to regulate the practice of the profession of optometry, issue licensure where appropriate, and in general, assure the public that the practice of optometry will be conducted with reasonable skill and safety by persons who meet the curriculum requirements to hold a Doctor of Optometry degree from an accredited optometry school. To enforce the Optometric Practice Act, the board reviews applications for licensure and complaints relative to the conduct of its licensed optometrist and is charged with determining if the provisions of the Optometric Practice Act are met. In addition, the board may promulgate rules and policies in conformity with the stated purpose of the board and the mission as mandated by law. As of January 1, 2019, all board meetings are digitally recorded with the recordings of the audio available to the public on the board's website under the consumer information link. Agenda item C, President's Report. I have no report this morning. Agenda item D, review, discussion, and possible action of investigative reviews complaints. Agenda item 1, Michael Zucker, OD, IR number 202308. As this is a virtual and telephonic meeting, I'd like all participants to preface their comments with their name, and when referring to a patient, use initials only to refer to the patient. Is Dr. Zucker present? Is patient JC present? Okay. Can I get a board summary for IR 202308?
I'll give it a shot.
Okay.
Dr. Brown.
Thank you, Dr. Brown.
On January of this year, there was a full exam for the patient JC. He received his lenses the next month in February. 3 weeks later, reported cracked lenses, which were replaced under warranty. 7 weeks after that, in April, he reported cracked lenses again, and they were replaced. He was warned at that time that they would not be likely to replace them again. However, a week later, they were cracked. The doctor worked with the lab and made arrangements to replace the frame and lenses in case the frame was part of the problem. 4 months later, in September, the lenses were cracked again. According to the report from Dr. Zucker in November, they offered a full refund if the glasses were returned. The patient, JC, has issued this complaint that ends with the statement, "I want to know what the resolution will be." Am I supposed to say more or just the summary?
Just the summary for right now. Thank you, Dr. Brown. Okay. As neither the doctor or patient are present, I will just open this up then for board discussion. Thoughts from the board members?
This is Dr. Masters. I'll comment. It looks like in response, we really only heard from the optician. I didn't see any response from the doctor, and I actually don't think Dr. Zucker actually saw the patient either. So I'm not really sure what our responsibility is here. Thank you.
Okay. Other comments?
Yeah, this is Dr. Carpenter. That's a good observation by Dr. Mastoras. It looks like in the explanation from the optician, it was Dr. Jamie Sampson. So, Dr. Mastoras raises a good question here. Although I do not see any violation of the Optometric Practice Act, I see an unfortunate situation where these lenses kept cracking, whether it was the stress because of the wrap of the frame or whether it had to do with the hot summer in Arizona and the frames being out in the heat. But it sounds like it's something that the two parties just need to resolve.
I agree. I'll comment also. I agree. Dr. Zucker was not the provider. Although this complaint is directed at him, he wasn't the patient's provider. And this is a matter, I think, that is best resolved between the optical and the patient, and our responsibility here is small. So I also see no violation of the Optometric Practice Act. Would anyone like to make a motion?
Dr. Brown?
Go ahead.
I move that we dismiss the complaint.
Thank you. Is there a second?
This is Dr. Carpenter. I'll second that.
Okay. So we've had a motion and a second to dismiss the complaint as there is no violation of the Optometric Practice Act. Let's vote. Dr. Brown, how do you vote?
Aye.
Dr. Carpenter?
Aye.
Dr. Mastoras?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Motion passes 4-0. Agenda item E. Review, discussion, and possible action regarding compliance, revision, or termination of a probationary order. So we have a new practice monitoring report for Dr. Kelsey Stevens related to IR number 202213. The report for October was submitted. Is there any discussion or concerns regarding the practice monitor report submitted on Dr. Stevens' behalf?
Dr. Mastoras, it looks pretty good to me. I think he even said excellent documentation. So I like that.
All right. I agree. Any other comments?
This is Dr. Carpenter. Yes, I agree. It looks like she's checking all the boxes.
Okay. And so, Margaret, do we need to vote to accept this report? I believe we do.
Yes, Dr. Mopp, this is Margaret Whalen. If you would, it's cleaner to accept the report. You can also accept it for October only because we never did receive November's and December's. Obviously, November just ended, so I expect that in January we could review November and December.
Okay, wonderful. Would anyone like to make a motion?
This is Dr. Carpenter. I move that we accept this report for October.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I second Dr. Brown.
Wonderful. Any further discussion? Okay, so we've had a motion to accept this October practice monitoring report for Dr. Stevens. Any further discussion? And a second, excuse me, any further discussion? Okay, so we'll vote. Dr. Brown, how do you vote?
Aye.
Dr. Carpenter?
Aye.
Dr. Mastoras?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Motion passes 4-0. We'll move on. Agenda item F, Executive Director approval of new license applications pursuant to ARS 32-3123. So between October 5th and December 1st, we have the following new licenses. Wonderful. Thank you, Margaret. Agenda item G. Review, discussion, and possible action on pending renewal applications. Dr. Joseph Gilbuena. Let's see here. So Dr. Gilbuena is currently named in a malpractice suit. He provided 4 postoperative visits to a plaintiff who ultimately had his or her lens implant removed and replaced. Is there any concern with relicensing Dr. Gilbuena? Any comments from the board?
This is Dr. Carpenter. In reading it, I don't have any concerns about granting him a license here in Arizona.
Okay.
Dr. Mastoras, I agree.
Dr. Brown?
I agree as well.
I do also. Would someone like to make a motion?
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is Margaret Whalen. You could move to renew the license as is with no further action would be great.
Okay. So I will move to renew Dr. Gilbuena's license with no further action. Is there a second?
Dr. Brown, I second. Sorry.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Any further discussion? Okay, so we'll vote. We've got a motion and a second to renew Dr. Gilbuena's license with no further action. Dr. Brown, how do you vote?
Aye.
Dr. Carpenter?
Aye.
Dr. Mastores?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Motion passes 4-0. Agenda item H, review, discussion, and possible action on pending endorsement applications. Agenda
Madam
item.
President, if I could.
Yes.
I'm Go sorry ahead, if I could preempt your. Thank you. This is Margaret Whalen, Executive Director. I apologize again to the public for not being on video. That bothers me, but I'm so sorry. and to the board. So Dr. Barker is a candidate for initial licensure. And I am not able to approve his application due to an NPDB report of an action from another state. It's actually malpractice. He didn't appear to be disciplined in any other state based on his license verification. So this is a straight malpractice report that went to his license. There was no associated disciplinary action from his current state of New Mexico. So I'm asking the board to review the application with the report in mind. And also, he is under agenda item I. The fingerprint report is not yet received. So if the board does approve this application under item H, it would also be considered under item I for the fingerprints. I just wanted you to know that both of those were missed, that the fingerprints were still missing. The report is not back from DPS.
So, Margaret, if I understand correctly, then there was also a malpractice report that's missing, as well as the fingerprint report.
Right. So, theoretically, if the malpractice report wasn't there, I would just be asking for approval under item I, but he kind of falls under both because I don't have authority to approve because of the report that came back.
This is Dr. Mastores. Can you explain what an endorsement is? I'm confused by it always.
Yes, no worries. So the endorsement application process is when a licensee has been practicing at least 4 of the last 5 years in the same jurisdiction in a state in which the scope is equal or higher to Arizona and they're practicing at that scope. So Dr. Barker currently practices in New Mexico, who we endorse because their scope is equal or higher to Arizona. The only thing about his application is that we run the National Practitioner Data Bank Report. As you know, that's the national reporting entity for disciplinary actions against all occupational licenses. And Dr. Barker has a report on his data bank report for malpractice from New Mexico under that license. So
Margaret,
the board is being... Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to finish by saying, so the board just needs to determine, kind of similar to Dr. Gilbueno's, except this is initial application, does the board want to issue Dr. Barker's license with some kind of action, like a letter of concern for the malpractice? Do they want to open a complaint after they license him? You know, what's the scoop?
So I have another question. I'm sorry, Margaret. This is Dr. Moffitt. Is the malpractice suit... currently, is it current or is it resolved? Do we know? Was he licensed after the malpractice student in New Mexico?
Madam President, members of the board, this is Margaret Whalen. It's been resolved. If you look at the report that was at the end of the application that I sent, there was a settlement.
Okay.
And it's closed.
So then with regard to board discussion, I think my thoughts on this with regard to Dr. Barker is that we should probably... approve his licensure for endorsement pending a normal fingerprint report.
Yes, that would be appropriate.
Dr. Mastores, I'll second.
Okay. I didn't make a motion, though. I just said that.
Gotcha.
Any other comments from the board?
This is Dr. Carpenter. Just a question. So we're waiting on the results of the fingerprinting report. Is that going to be much longer? Like, is that the purpose of this request? Is he anxious to get licensed, or is that going to come through in a timely manner?
This is Margaret Whalen. Dr. Carpenter, that's an excellent question. And yes, the fingerprints are still probably 6 weeks out or longer. What I'm asking the board to do in Dr. Barker's case is under item H, if you would just consider approving the application itself and then address the fingerprint issue under item I. So that way it's not, you can do the contingency if you want, Dr. Moffitt, but it would be cleaner if we just, if the board considered approving or denying the license under item H, and then you can address the fingerprint issue. All those doctors under item I, Dr. Carpenter, are waiting for fingerprints. They've already been waiting at least 4 to 6 weeks, and they're still not coming back.
Mona Baskin?
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Whalen, Dr. Moffitt, members of the board. I think that you could take that in all one motion, because if you grant his license, then you've granted it. If you have a second motion to grant it contingent upon receiving the criminal history check, then it's not. I don't think it's that clear. So I think that you could do it all in one motion. And then in your motion, if you could please reference 32.17.30. B, and I would just like to read it to the board. If the board does not have any evidence or reasonable suspicion that the applicant has a criminal history, the board may issue a license before it receives the results of the criminal records check. And from my understanding from discussions with Ms. Whalen and from reviewing the documentation, these doctors have waited close to 6 weeks. And from information, and if Margaret Whalen would like to confirm this, that it could take another month to 2 months before receiving those results for these doctors. And they're up against timeframes.
Okay. So should we just move on from agenda item H and go to agenda item I and address all of these applicants together?
This is Mona Baskin. I think that you should take Dr. Keith Barker, and you could consider his, the agenda items H1 and then I6, and then deal with it all in one motion.
Okay. All right. So I'll make a motion, that we accept Dr. Keith Barker as well as, in agenda item I, number one, Rovetta Madia, number two, Bessie Anthony, number three, Christine Min, number four, Lynn Nguyen, number five, Adam Glover, number six, Keith Barker again, with regard to ARS 32-17-30, with no concern that there will be a criminal record present, that we approve their licenses pending a normal criminal record check.
Madam President, this is Margaret Whalen.
Okay.
It's actually not, sorry. I know it's confusing and we don't usually have this. It's not pending because, the statute that Ms. Baskin just read, gives the board flat authority. They don't have to, it's not contingent or pending. They're just saying, we trust that it's going to come back. We're going to issue the license.
What if it comes back with a criminal record?
Then, the board would open a complaint.
Okay, so you would just bring that to our attention?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so I'll try this again.
Just the last part, just take out the word pending would be great.
Okay, so then we would approve those licensees previously listed for a new license. And
for license
by endorsement, excuse me. I didn't hear you, Margaret.
Well, yes, they're not all endorsements, so you would just accept them under
Dr. Barker for endorsement, and then the other licensees for a new license.
Yes, under 32.17.30.
Second.
Further discussion? All right, we've had a motion and a second to accept these licensees. Dr. Brown, how do you vote?
Aye.
Dr. Carpenter?
Aye.
Dr. Mastores?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Motion passes 4-0. Agenda item J, review, discussion, and possible action on approval of continuing education as provided by ARS 32-1704D and AAC R4-21-210. So continuing education, current management of open angle glaucoma by Swagel Wooten Eye Center. It's a virtual or live interactive course on December 12th for 1 continuing education credit. Any comments from the board regarding this CE application? I'll offer my comments. This is Dr. Moffitt. Although this was mostly given in an outline form for 1 credit hour, it actually looks like there was a fair amount of content, and I thought that it looked like it was good content and would take up an hour. So I would be inclined to accept it. Any other comments from the board?
This is Dr.
Brown. Host.
Go ahead, Dr. Carpenter.
I was just saying I agree. I think it looks like good content.
Okay. Dr. Brown?
First time I've seen continuing ed proposed. How is it usually? You said it's an outline this time. Do they usually provide a PowerPoint or?
Yes. Sometimes there are PowerPoint slides and you can see the presentation itself. And so sometimes you get a much better feel for exactly what the content is. Sometimes the outline is really sparse and, you know, it's more just general subjects as opposed to the detail that's going to be discussed. And so sometimes the outlines seem lacking. In this case, I thought the outline looked okay.
I agree as well.
Thank you. Dr. Mastores, comments?
I agree. Thank you.
Okay. Would someone like to make a motion?
I move we accept the continuing education.
Okay. Is there a second?
This is Dr. Carpenter. I will second that.
Okay. So we've had a motion and a second to accept current management of open angle glaucoma by Swagel Wooten Eye Center on December 12th, 2022 for 1 continuing education credit. Dr. Brown, how do you vote?
Aye.
Dr. Carpenter?
Aye.
Dr. Mastores?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Motion passes 4-0. Agenda item K, review, discussion, and possible action on changes to COPE course formats for continuing education, CE under AAC R421-209, changes effective January 1, 2023. So I'll probably invite Margaret to discuss this in just a moment. But so ARBO released these continuing education classes, sort of new classifications now as synchronous versus asynchronous. The synchronous classes are interactive and live. Therefore, the participant and the lecturer are sort of present in the same moment. And the asynchronous classes then are not necessarily live. And I believe that the goal here is to accept those terms as they would apply with our current continuing education requirements. Margaret, do you have any comments to add?
Yes, Madam President. Thank you so much. This is Margaret Whalen, Executive Director, Madam Chair, members of the board. I hope that you all are excited about this memo. I sure am as an administrator. ARBO has received a lot of positive feedback from the virtual online courses that were created during pandemic. And as a result, it has created a really great alternative to traveling and to attending. People are getting way more continuing education than before, and they like that they don't have to travel. As it relates to our statutes and rules, I just wanted the board to be aware and to, consider accepting COPE's modification. If you look at our continuing education rule under R4-21-209, the only requirement that we have for COPE approval for courses is the self-instructed media, which we have a limit of 12 hours, and those are now considered the asynchronous courses, as Dr. Moffitt had explained. So I don't think that we would need a rules change, and we would not be outside the scope of the rule to go ahead and accept the virtual courses in the future.
Thank you, Margaret. I think it's a wonderful idea. Comments from the board?
This is Dr. Carpenter. Just a question for clarification. So currently, our state board allows up to 12 credits of the self-directed online learning. So is this changing it to where all of our credits can be synchronous or asynchronous, or still just within those 12?
The 12 are still considered asynchronous, so not live courses. Synchronous are considered live courses because you have to interact with the class during the class. So just like if you attended a class in person or if you attended a class online, you would have to be present and you have to interact or take a test or things like that.
So we could do, you could do 20 synchronous classes online and then do 12 asynchronous and never attend in person once.
Yes.
Okay. Just want to be clear.
Madam President, this is Margaret Whalen. If I could clarify a little more for Dr. Carpenter. I know that concept sounds scary, but the thing about the synchronous courses is they can only be attended while the course is offered live virtually. They are not pre-recorded. They can't be reviewed or revisited later for credit hours. If they were to be at that time, they would be considered asynchronous and would count towards the 12-hour limit. Does that help a little bit?
Yes. Yep. Just wanted to be clear. But yeah, that all I understand. And I'm okay with that.
Okay. Perfect.
Thanks, Dr. Carpenter. Dr. Brown?
Dr. Brown, I have a question. Are we proposing to change the verbiage in our statutes to have synchronous and asynchronous included in there so that it'll be clear? Or are we just accepting their terms without changing our statutes?
We're accepting.
Madam President.
Correct, Margaret.
Oh, go ahead, Madam President.
No, that's okay. Go ahead, Margaret.
Okay. Madam President, members of the board, Dr. Brown, we would not require a rules change at this time. I think our rule is written well enough. If you looked at 209, as stated before, that we wouldn't need to do anything to the rule. We certainly could add a section in the future, kind of spelling that out, but it would really refer to COPE and to ARBO. That's their terms.
Any further questions, Dr. Brown? Any comments?
Living 3 hours from Dr. Brown here, living 3 hours from anywhere, I really enjoy this opportunity.
Okay, great. Dr. Mastoris?
Yes, Dr. Mastoris. I feel like I've gotten some of the best CE during this time online, and I think they did a really good job of writing it and explaining how it works. So I look forward to it. Thank you.
Lovely. Would anyone like to make a motion to accept these classifications from ARBO?
This is Dr. Carpenter. I move to accept these classifications from ARBO.
Is there a second?
This is Dr. Brown. I second it.
Okay. So we've had a motion and a second to accept the changes from ARBO regarding the COPE-approved CE terms, synchronous and asynchronous. Let's vote. Dr. Brown, how do you vote?
Aye.
Dr. Carpenter?
Aye.
Dr. Mastoris?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Motion passes 4-0. Agenda item L, review, discussion, and possible action on approval of Testing Center for Proctoring of Jurisprudence Exam pursuant to AACR 4-21-203C. Number one, Pellissippi State Community College, Knoxville, Tennessee. Any concerns about accepting this as a new testing center for the jurisprudence exam? Dr. Brown?
Dr. Brown, I have no concerns. My question is, who asks for this? Does a school, a student, the testing center, or does Margaret find these on her own? How do we get these requests?
Margaret.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the board, Dr. Brown. These are submitted by applicants In our law, we do have, in our rule, we allow for applicants to take the jurisprudence exam locally at an approved testing center that is board approved. So if we've started a list in the last 2 years since the rule changed. So we're just collecting data as we go. And if there's a testing center that's already near the person, they just use that. If there isn't one, then they are welcome to submit a testing center for approval by the board. And then it gets added to our list.
Thank you.
Sure. Any further comments? Would anyone like to make a motion to accept Pellissippi State Community College as a jurisprudence testing center?
Dr. Brown, I move that we accept the testing center. Was that, how do you say that?
I said it.
Pellissippi. Okay. Pellissippi State Community College in Knoxville, Tennessee testing center.
Is there a second?
Dr. Mastores, I'll second.
Thank you. So we've had a motion and a second to accept Pellissippi State Community College in Knoxville, Tennessee as a testing center for the Arizona Jurisprudence Exam. Let's vote. Dr. Brown, how do you vote?
Aye.
Dr. Carpenter?
Aye.
Dr. Mastores?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Motion passes 4-0. Agenda item M. Review, discussion, and possible action on the Western Interstate Commission for Higher Education, Professional Students, or WICHE, Professional Student Exchange Program, and Designated Underserved Arizona Communities. So we have a submission, a repeat submission from Dr. Amber Deli regarding the acceptance of Maryvale Village to satisfy or qualify as a underserved community for part of her WICHE repayment time. And she submitted Margaret pursued some further clarification regarding this location, Maryvale Village. So I'll open this up for board discussion. I was just going to add, it looks to me as if it's fairly well established that the Maryvale Village is designated as a primary care health professional shortage area. And that seems to be based on Margaret's feedback. I've forgotten the woman's name, Joyce, I think.
Louise Lynch.
I'm sorry. Say that again, Margaret.
Ms. Louise Lynch.
Louise Lynch. Yes. And so this appeared to meet the requirement as far as I was concerned. So the WICHE actually sets up the board as the decision maker in this case, whether a location qualifies as an underserved area. And so as far as I could tell personally, it seemed to meet the best criteria that we could determine. Those were my thoughts. Other comments?
Dr. Brown, I agree. It'll be easier for us to follow federal designations as opposed to making up our own. So I was grateful for Mrs. Lynch's reply.
Thank you. Dr. Mastores.
Because I agree with everybody. Should I motion? Or maybe wait for more discussion? Yes.
Okay, Dr. Carpenter, any comments?
No comments. I agree with what's been said. I'm comfortable with that.
Okay. Would anyone like to make a motion?
Dr. Brown, sorry. I'd like to make a motion that as a board, we accept HPSA designations for underserved areas for this type of concern. Is that too broad?
I'm not quite sure we can do that. Mona, Ms. Vasquez.
Yes. Yes, good morning, Dr. Brown, members of the board, Madam Chairperson. That would be too broad. It is only agendized for this one individual, for Dr. Deli. So the motion would be, it appears that the board is moving in the direction to grant the request and make a determination of acceptable need under the statute.
Dr. Brown, would you like to restate your motion?
I'm looking up the name. Sorry.
That's okay.
Is it Dr. Deli?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Let me grab that. So I make a motion that we accept Dr. Deli's request to be excused from her witchy obligations, not excused, no. To find that she met her witchy obligations by serving in an area of exceptional need.
Okay. And accepting Marysville Village as an area of exceptional need?
As designated now.
Okay. Is there a second?
Dr. Masters, I'll second.
Wonderful. So we've had any further discussion? So we've had a motion and a second to accept Dr. Deli's submission and for Marysville Village to meet the requirements of an underserved Arizona community and satisfying her witchy requirements. Dr. Brown, how do you vote?
Aye.
Dr. Carpenter?
Aye.
Dr. Mastores?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Motion passes 4-0. Agenda item N, review, discussion, and possible action on board policies and conflicts of interest as recommended by the Auditor General's Office in the 2022 audit. Number one, conflict of interest draft, and number two, conflict of interest disclosure form. Margaret, do you want to give some background on this?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Madam President. This is Margaret Whalen, Executive Director of the Board. Madam President, members of the Board, I just wanted to submit this to you. This will be an internal policy. It's not specifically a board policy, but it was strongly requested by the auditors, even though the state has its own conflict of interest policy for state employees and board members who are not state employees but who are employed as board members. So in an effort to meet the requirement of the audit, I did generate the drafts for the conflict of interest policy and the disclosure form that resulted from that. I really just wanted eyes on it, so hopefully you've had a chance to review it, and if anything kind of looked out of place or not board-related, if you would just let me know of any potential changes that you want. The board doesn't specifically need to take action today because, again, it will be an internal policy. It's not going to be a substantive policy or, of course, statute or rule. So this was specifically done, like I said, to meet the findings of the audit.
Dr. Mastores, question. So would we sign this once or each time? Or how does that work?
Conflict of interest disclosure form will be signed each time you have a conflict with the board regarding any of the cases or items that are on the agenda. That's always been the policy, so it's a little bit different. They're kind of meshing two different types of conflicts of interest as far as I'm concerned. One of them is, as you could tell by the policy, kind of the overall scale. So if we have political subdivision conflicts or nepotism type conflicts or contractor type conflicts, anything like that. And a lot of those don't really pertain to the board per se. But I think what the Auditor General's office was looking for was just verification that people were aware that they needed to disclose that. The other disclosure form is kind of the one that I have now. I haven't decided yet entirely, Dr. Mastores. I'm sorry, it's not really a concrete answer. I'll probably end up combining a little bit of the forms and using this new form that I submitted to you. Because that form is a little more beefed up than the usual form, because the one I use currently for the conflicts of interest for the board meetings are a little bit simpler. It just says, why is there a conflict? Is the person a friend, family, business partner, schoolmate, things like that. So the draft disclosure form that I submitted is a little bit more enhanced than that. And the form would have to be signed annually, and then if you had a conflict for each meeting. So not much will change, I don't think, as far as our current process. This just, I think, helps to guide and solidify the board. And I also had to include a process for remedying a conflict of interest. So you probably saw that in the policy itself. That was one of the audit findings, is that the policy does not currently have a way that it gets adjudicated should there be an issue.
Any further questions? Any comments for Margaret regarding the form? Margaret, I thought this looked good. It's kind of hard to put together an all-inclusive conflict of interest form. And so.
I agree. Yeah. Yes, I appreciate that, Dr. Moffitt. And it was challenging. And I appreciate where the auditors are coming from, but I also felt that the state's current policy was sufficient. But like I said, I'm amenable to, you know, to meeting the request. So.
And maybe as we move forward, other situations will be identified or, you know.
Exactly. It's now that it's it will be there, it'll be open for revision at any time. So, yes, you're correct. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Any other comments from Margaret? So we don't need to vote on this, correct, Margaret? It's just a administrative policy.
Correct. This is Margaret Whalen. I just wanted the board to be aware of it and to see the draft, and if there was any concerns or changes to voice those. Otherwise, it will be just an internal administrative policy.
Okay. Comments, Dr. Brown or Dr. Carpenter?
No comment.
No okay. comment.
Okay. All right. So we'll move forward then. Agenda item O, Executive Director's Report. Ms. Whalen.
Thank you, Madam President. Currently, our budget year elapsed is 33.33% of the fiscal year. As you know, we are July 1st to June 30th for our fiscal year. Current board spending is at 24.44%. So we are within our budgetary requirements there. As of October 31st, our beginning cash balance was $546,271. With an ending cash balance of $536,851. So the fund balance remains healthy, and as does our appropriation. Our sunset review, which was the part of the audit that we had done, is coming up in the next legislative session. That will be in January. It usually starts around January 16th or somewhere around there, second week of January. We have a committee of reference meeting next Wednesday, December 7th. I will be attending that. It's just the initial review, the first time the legislature is seeing the audit report and the board's submission. We will probably have about 5 minutes or less to say anything to the board, to the committee. This is just for them to kind of get a grip on things and to recommend it go to the Senate and the House in January. So I'll be attending. I had asked Dr. Moffitt, but I don't think it's necessary. Nobody else's board members are coming at this time. This is just the super early initial review. And we're after a lot of big boards. The meeting is at 1 p.m. It will be online. So if you want to pull up the House hearing room number one at 1 p.m., you can watch the proceedings. Those are televised. And we're at the end of the agenda after huge agencies like Access, Dental Board, DES. So it could be a while. But it's interesting. And I think if you do have time, you should at least have it on just to see what the process will be. But again, we'll really amp it up in January when it does start to go before the legislature. Are there any future agenda items of request at this time?
Go ahead,
Dr. Brown, I've got a quick question. In the original agenda for today, there was a continuing education request to roll over to a different year. It didn't appear on today's. Was that removed by the doctor, or what happened to that request, or can I ask that?
Thank you, Dr. Brown. That was administratively removed. That's why I do a draft agenda. I kind of put everything that I have going on there until I can make decisions as to whether or not it's appropriate to agendize it. And that one was not appropriate to agendize because the question was already answered in rule.
Got it.
Does that help?
Yes. Thank you. Perfect.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. Any future agenda items?
Does anyone want to discuss training, when we should do some board training?
Okay, I can put that on there. Anything else? Okay. Future board meeting dates. I was looking at, of course, my calendar is old. I was looking at meeting in February and not January because we have this meeting today for December. It rounds out the calendar year. And as far as board business, knock on wood, I don't have any other open complaints after today's was reviewed. So if it pleases the board, I would be looking at February 3rd, I believe it was. Plus, that gives us time to let session get started, and so I can kind of report on what's up. But I'm happy to meet in January. You are the board. It's your decision. I'm just throwing some ideas out there. It would be Friday, February 3rd, if we do not meet, or we could meet January 6th.
So my vote's for February. Anybody else?
My vote's for February.
Dr. Carpenter, Dr. Mastores?
I agree.
That day work?
I agree.
Does anyone want to suggest a time? Do we want the 8 a.m. start or the 9 a.m. start? Anybody's opinions?
Like 8 a.m. if possible.
Okay. Dr. Brown, Dr. Carpenter?
8 a.m. is fine.
Okay.
8 a.m.
All right, 8 a.m.
All right. I really appreciate that. Madam President, that concludes my executive director's report.
Okay. All right. Call to the public. Are there any members of the public that would like to address the board? Excuse me, agenda item P, call to the public. Okay. I hear no comments. Agenda item Q, motion to adjourn. Would anyone like to move to adjourn the meeting?
Dr. Brown, I move we adjourn.
Is there a second?
Carpenter, I second it.
Thank you. All right, we've had a motion and a second to adjourn. Any further discussion? All right, we'll vote. Dr. Brown, how do you vote?
Aye.
Dr. Carpenter?
Aye.
Dr. Mastores?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Motion passes 4-0. So this Arizona State Board of Optometry meeting is adjourned at 9:03.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Happy holidays.
Yes, happy holidays.
Bye-bye.